Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Before he became a travel television star, Anthony Bourdain's memoir, Kitchen Confidential, changed the way we think about the restaurant experience and gave us new insights into fine dining and the chaotic work that takes place in the back of the house. Well, my guest today does the same for luxury hotels. Heads and Beds, a reckless memoir of hotels, hustles, and so-called hospitality. It tells us the story of hotelier Jacob Tomsky, who started working the valet line and eventually learns the complete ins and outs of the luxury hotel trade, from the front desk to housekeeping to room service. In his book, he describes what a well-run hotel is like, and one that may look like it, but is anything but on the inside. He also gives readers hints on how to make the most of any hotel stay. And yes, it does usually involve a $20 bill. Jacob Tomsky joins me today by phone. The name of the book is Heads and Beds, a reckless memoir of hotels, hustles, and so-called hospitality. It's published by Doubleday. Jacob Tomsky, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
This new book, Heads and Beds, gives us a lot of new insights into what happens behind the scenes whenever a guest stays at a hotel, especially an upscale hotel, which a full-service hotel, if you will, which in many places are sort of fast disappearing. But certainly the first paragraph of your book sort of highlights the role of the service people at a hotel. Can you read that for us?
Absolutely. Be my pleasure. I've worked in hotels for more than a decade. I checked you in, checked you out, oriented you to the property, served you a beverage, separated your white panties from the white bed sheets, parked your car, tasted your room service before and sadly after, cleaned your toilet, denied you a late checkout, given you a wake-up call, eaten M&Ms out of your minibar, laughed at your jokes, and taken your money. I have been on the front lines, and by that I mean the front desk, of upscale hotels for years, and I've seen it all firsthand.
It gives us a sense. You started working right after college at a hotel. You had a degree in philosophy. And you go, what the heck am I going to do with this? And you start working as a valet, and you really worked your way pretty much through the entire hotel system.
Yeah, very random. Started parking cars. I was actually working at a restaurant, and I heard about the hotel. So I started parking cars, driving guests around, picking up airport stuff, and then moved to the front desk and learned quite a bit there. And then housekeeping manager, which is where I really got up inside the rooms, and then just continued on from there and spent a decade in the business.
And what's the number one thing you'd like to pass on to people, like at a very fine hotel, the sort of seamless quality of the service? What goes on behind the scenes? Is it a duck paddling furiously?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's an interconnected hive, and there's a lot of different people doing a lot of different things, and we all work together, and we're all friends. So I've seen a lot of that from guests, screaming to me about the doorman or the housekeeper. I'm like, these people are my friends. Yeah, there's just so much going on. There's, even between the employees, they're proposing to each other in these rooms. They're consummating marriages in these rooms. We've got access to everything, and we've got our eyes on you. And it's a very interesting ecosystem in a hotel, and I hope Heads and Beds does a good job of breaking that down for the reader.
One of the things interesting about this book is that as you go through each of your job descriptions, you give us some highlights on things that we need to know about to be a better consumer. And one of the things that, as you write, is there is definitely hustling at a hotel, that because it is such a service industry standard and everyone wants a tip or is expecting a tip, it's important to know what some of those things are about. And you started out parking cars. You write of, $20,000 insurance claims of, like, luxury cars hitting other luxury cars in the valet parking lot.
Yeah, it was a scary job. It's just a lot of pressure there. Driving these luxury vehicles, these garages are tiny. You don't know the cars. You're figuring out the cars, how they drive. Usually you got to back them in so that you can pull them out quickly. So there's a lot going on, and then, valets are sort of clandestine people, and they might not be working at that hotel for too long. They feel sort of separate. It could be an outside company. So as far as protecting your vehicle, it's important. If you can tip, if you see the valet who's going to take off your vehicle, a dollar or two to him will be great. They get a somewhat decent, although rather low, hourly wage. So just a dollar on top is you see them pulling it off, we'll do a good job towards making them careful as they're parking it. But then again, when you call for your car again, it's not going to be the same guy. And even if it is the same guy, he's not going to remember that this is your car. So one of the best things to do is do a walk around of the vehicle and, you know, inside of everyone and also personally for yourself. Familiarize yourself with any kind of scratches or dents. That way later, if something does appear, you'll have that little bit of surety to realize that, you know what, that scratch wasn't there, and that's going to be helpful. Not to mention, if as a valet parker, if I see a guest do a walk around in their vehicle, I'm going to know that they're keeping an eye on it, and I should, you know, I should park it as carefully as possible.
Now, you actually opened a hotel. This was your first hotel job, was actually opening a hotel down in New Orleans. And the general manager, this was somebody, he said, wow, I could see myself doing that job in a few years. And the general manager was really interesting because you spent quite a bit of time with him, first as just a member of the staff in the valet parking lot, but eventually at the front desk and eventually into management. And he had a very unusual management style.
Yeah, he's very diverse. I mean, he was a great man. And, you know, I've seen a hotel run properly and I've seen a hotel run horribly. You know, I was in a position to witness both. And that first experience, I mean, we all felt part of the team. We were motivated. We had pride in our property. And he really fostered that pride with his attitude. And, he knew everyone's name and he knew when to be formal and he knew when to break that formality and, you know, just treat us like friends and things like that. I mean, he was great, great at what he did. And it made everyone a better employee, and then that translated to the guests. And then, again, later in the book, I get to how not to treat your employees because, the fallout can be huge.
Well, in his approach was he was basically a lovable teddy bear to the staff. But once you became management, you saw this entirely different side of him.
Yeah, absolutely. Kissing babies in public and cracking heads in private. You know, he should be this wonderful leader to everyone else. But then when it comes down to the boardroom and his executive committee, it's liable to get heated in there because, there's a lot riding on that. That's part of the title. It's heads and beds. That's the bottom line in hospitality. And when you start, your occupancy start falling and your rates start falling in order to increase occupancy and that doesn't work, you can spiral out of control. It's a very hard job, general manager, a lot to do. I mean, if you think about everything happens in a hotel, we haven't even really spoken of the room service and things like that, the restaurants, the bars. I mean, it's just an amazing amount to keep track of and really keep in line, and a general manager is instrumental in that.
Now, as you started working your way up through the hotel, the one thing you say is, it's almost impossible for a hotel to close, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so profitable. You've got, usually on average, depending on the property, $30, $40 a night, pretty much handles, the electricity and the hourly wage needed for the people who clean these rooms.
And that's for a full service hotel where you have bellmen and
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, not like sort of a motel sort of situation or anything or economy hotel.
Yeah, there's very little needed to flip that room. That's why the cost of the room itself is going to be less. And the rate's going to be decreased because they're spending less money to operate the room. And whether they're cutting that corners on service or cleanliness, you never really know. But, as far as the markups, and then obviously you get into a mini bar and movies and things like that. There's a lot of ways for hotels to make a lot of money. And it's an old business, and it's one that's never going away. It'll only increase as people travel more.
And even when a hotel comes upon hard times, all it does is a lot of times the property is owned by somebody else. So a new management company comes in, they rebrand the hotel, they start over. And for most of the employees, it continues just without a hitch, doesn't it?
Sure. Yeah, that can happen. Or, I was in a position to be a union member where they couldn't get rid of us or they would have had to pay quite a bit of money. But, it does happen when they'll buy everyone out or shut the hotel down and renovate it, and then everyone's collecting unemployment while they're renovating. Sometimes they keep it open so that it's just a completely stunted and a half-working hotel on the renovating part of it. A lot of ways to do it, but usually someone comes in. I mean, it's very rare that you'll see a hotel close down and just, you know, because what else you can turn that into a condo. That's happened. You know, actually in New York that happens. You know, some of the more famous hotels have turned themselves into condos, you know, at least half of them. So, you know, there are changes in the business, but it's only going to increase, you know, as people travel and the world becomes way more global.
Well, at some point, yeah, very quickly, you moved from valet to the front desk. And this is, of course, where the interaction really gets interesting between guests and hotel personnel. This is sort of the nerve center of the hotel, isn't it?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think it's an undervalued position. As a front desk agent, I had so much power over your room and your stay and where I was putting you and if I was putting in your requests and marking down your wake-up call. I mean, a lot of people don't realize how much control the front desk agent has. That, you know, I've had it pointed out, like, what's with all this typing? And it can't be that hard. You know, it's there's mouse clicks now, and everything's almost touchscreen. And it's like, no, it's very difficult. There's 500 rooms at some properties, and you know, all different attributes. And you know, being kind or being generous to the front desk agent could really improve your stay.
Well, it's kind of like being rude to the gate clerk at an airline. You know, this is the one person that can help you make your flight or help you miss your flight. So
Absolutely.
Being nice to that person is always essential. And, of course, that doesn't happen at airlines, and it doesn't happen at the front desk either.
Yeah, no, we definitely can. You know, and then again, if you there's, you know, with an airline, you know, you just said it. They can make you miss your flight, or they can tell you that they can't reroute you, or they can reroute you someplace crazy, I would imagine. But in a hotel, we've got 1,000 ways. You know, I can make your keys not work, midnight calls. You know, there's just a lot of people have access to your room. We've all got master keys. So if you make some bad moves, you'll be punished in ways that you'll never realize. I mean, you know, there were situations where I was getting yelled at and this person was unreasonable. And I'll look them in the face and I'll say, you know what, sir, I have a beautiful room for you. And, you know, they've never stayed here before, so they have zero information to base this on. And, in fact, I'm giving them a worse room. So, you know, you don't know. He gets up there and he thinks he's in a great room, but that room is garbage. And the room that he was scheduled to be in before he started getting unreasonable and rude was a much bigger suite. So, sometimes you won't even have any idea what we're capable of. So it's good to be kind.
Well, give us a sense of some of the things we should do. That section of the book sort of talks about how to get upgrades and how really to avoid being put next to the elevator. And I guess one thing that hotels really do, although they oftentimes will deny it, say, look at where you bought the room from. If you bought it from a internet discounter, you really can't expect the corner suite.
Sure, yeah. I mean, in that situation, imagine it's an understandable situation and everyone's on a budget. But if you book through an internet, you're pretty much shoved in with like 40, 50 other people that book through the internet. And it's pretty clear that you chose by price. And so if I'm running a hotel and I've got 40 people who didn't choose this property directly, they chose by price. And then I've got 40 or 50 guests here that stay here every week or they call directly. They're paying a little bit more for their rate. That means they'll probably be back. The hotel is going to take a little bit more care for guests who book with them directly as opposed to people who sorted by price. You know, and again, this is in Heads and Beds, to call directly, even if you do book a bulk reservation, just make a contact because, you know, until you speak to someone at the hotel, you're just a reservation in our system. It's very impersonal. But if you do call and make a contact at the front desk of the hotel proper, you know, and then say, you know, I appreciate your help. I just wanted to know what I booked. Did my request come through? These are the things that I'm really looking for in my room. Are you going to be there when I arrive? I'd love to thank you in person for your help. And if you can do that and if you can establish a direct relationship with the hotel, then no matter how you booked, then you just become a human being who's just trying to have a nice day. And if you can do that, it's gonna help.
And that's the most important thing, I think, is treating the service staff as if they're human.
Yeah.
Most guests don't.
It's a difficult job. You wouldn't believe. I mean, it's a lot of hours, flexible hours. There's overnight shifts. They're open 365 days a year. If there's a holiday, everyone's on vacation, and the hotel workers are working harder because everyone's traveling. So, you know, it's a difficult job and a lot of time on your feet, and we deal with a lot of emotional distress and anger, which is part of the job. But, it's important to, you know, remember that we're working hard, and to treat us with respect is something that, you know, we deserve.
My guest today is Jacob Tomsky, who spent over a decade in the hospitality industry in hotels, and his book is the hotel version of Kitchen Confidential, Anthony Bourdain's bestseller. It's called Heads and Beds, a reckless memoir of hotels, hustles, and so-called hospitalities. Well, everybody would like an upgrade. What's some of the best strategies for getting an upgrade?
A gratuity, a well-placed gratuity to the front desk agent is a very effective method. I was actually taught that by guests, you know. I mean, it's not a tipped position, so in that situation, your money goes farther. Because, you know, I'm making a decent hourly wage, and then if you provide me with a 10 or a 20, now I'm grateful to you. That's a very nice thing to do, and I'm going to do whatever I can to take care of you. And we have to upgrade. I mean, imagine you've got 100 rooms in a hotel, 80 of them are standard, 100 of them are up, or 20 of them are upgrades. The hotel will book 100 standard rooms. So somebody does have to get upgraded, and we're allowed to upgrade for anniversaries or someone has a birthday or someone got a promotion or they've been staying with us for a long time. So we have the power to do that. And a well-placed gratuity and a little bit of kindness, that's reason enough for a front desk agent to take care of you. And even if, like I said, even if it's not an upgrade, you know, there's so much variation in the rooms that, it's going to be, I guarantee you, that front desk agent is going to try to find the nicest suite. And you can trust when you open that door that's a good suite.
A $20 bill works wonders, huh?
It really does. It really does.
This is something else. When you were writing about your career arc, you had a chance to either go to management of housekeeping or a bellman. Mm-hmm. And this was a shock to me that bellman, as far as like below management level, bellmen are probably the best paid people in the hotel.
It's a lucrative position. I mean, it comes with its own problems. And, you know, I've known career bellmen, you know, at the end of the career, you're going to have knee problems, you're going to have ankle problems, you're going to have shoulder problems and elbow problems. A lot of physical labor involved. But it can be very lucrative, and as far as the responsibilities, it's limited what a bellman is responsible for. They're not taking as many complaints as management of the front desk. You know, they're not necessarily required to work longer hours and things like that. So, it's a decent position, and a lot of people who become bellmen stay bellmen, and that's what I was sort of warned about, because the hour-to-pay ratio is so substantial that it's very hard to step away from that and ever do anything else, because you're going to be taking a pay cut and you're going to be adding hours onto your work week. I was warned against, you know, that easy move, because I could have ended up, you know, a bellman 10 years later. And, you know, I guess the irony is I ended up a front desk agent 10 years later. So I didn't really end up doing too well in a way, but,
Well, from working in New Orleans to working in Midtown Manhattan, you found a different breed of bellman. Basically, as soon as you started working the front desk in Manhattan, the bellman came up to you and said, "Don't you dare ask guests if they need help with their luggage. You say front."
Yeah. No. It's an important
They were militant.
they would ask me to teach everyone else that too, because, I mean, yeah, if you ask any guest, "Do you need some help?" they're going to say no, absolutely not. It's to suggest or offer is always a bad idea. And I just developed a really declarative, you know, "This is my friend Ben. He's going to take you to your suite." And at that point, they have to tell the bellman whether or not they need help. And it's no longer I'm not involved. And now they're dealing with the bellman. And bellman can be intimidating, especially in New York. It's not mandatory. It's a nice thing to do, and you know, if you're in a property for a couple dollars, $2-$3 a bag, you can really take advantage of the property and take advantage of the fact that this nice gentleman will walk you up and orient you with the room, and now you have a contact, and he knows, most likely he's born and raised in the area, so he's going to know everything about the area. So it's a very helpful service. But I used to definitely get declarative about it, and it made it much more effective.
Well, I want to go back to back at the front desk, though, you were writing, that you used to see lots of, I mean, this is the thing about working the front desk is you see every scam out there. And there's a lot from illicit sex to drugs to just about everything that goes on in our world happen in hotels.
Oh, yeah. That's I've seen it all. Crazy stories. I've walked in on them. I've avoided them, prostitutes. I've checked in a businessman with his prostitute on Friday. And then Saturday, I checked him in with his family. And, I'm smiling and I'm saying, welcome back. Not welcome back if that was his first time. That's how you can really blow up someone's senior. But, I've done that. I've pretended like I've never seen you before. So, as a front desk agent, I've been witness to it all, and I had to find my way through this maze of humanity, and every single thing in life happens in a hotel room. So it's been an incredibly interesting life. A little taxing, but incredibly interesting.
Now, from the front desk, you actually became a manager of housekeeping, and these are the people who have to work the hardest in the hotel, the housekeepers.
Yeah.
And for pretty low wages, too.
Yeah, I mean, the benefits in hotels, God bless them, benefits tend to be decent. Job security tends to be good. If you build up seniority, then you're guaranteed your hours and, you got some health care going on. But it is a physically demanding job. I mean, I was on my knees scrubbing toilets, stripping the sheets, the dirty sheets off the bed, stripping them and shoving them down the laundry chute. Scrubbing, polishing, anything, vacuuming. This is, at the end, a housekeeper can have 10 to 15 rooms a day, depending on the size of the rooms. And as a housekeeping manager, I would go home absolutely exhausted and could not imagine cleaning that much every day. It's a tough job. And then you've got, she might come in the morning and she's got 10 checkouts and 12 occupieds, which is going to be a difference in cleaning there, because if an occupied suite, you got to do this, but it's a lot less. But, she'll come in to a 10 checkout day. That means completely refresh 10 rooms. And it's just so difficult. So difficult.
And you write that furniture polishes is the housekeeper's best friend. They use it on everything.
Yeah, unfortunately, including sometimes the minibar glasses. They're responsible for cleaning those. And they're not really provided with dish soap. So either they'll turn on the sink, fill it up with hot water, and put some shampoo in there. Or you want a spot-free glass. And I'll tell you what, Pledge and Furniture Polish does a great job towards giving you a spot-free glass. It just adds an additional lemon flavor. I recommend rinsing that out.
And that's why the bathrooms sparkle in a good hotel, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to say that they're not clean, because I guarantee you any hotel room is cleaner than your own bathroom.
True.
Because it's been clean today. But, there's a couple little tricks that are, a little bit icky. I think people have been having some interesting reactions.
Well, now, at that part of the hotel stay, you say getting to know the houseman is a great idea, and maybe slipping a few dollars to him. All of a sudden, all the shampoos, all the little accoutrements, they're yours for the taking, aren't they?
Yeah, and there's some amazing stuff in a luxury hotel. I mean, we've got shoehorns, not that anybody uses those really, but we've got lint rollers, travel toothbrushes, little sticks of deodorant, shoe polishers, those little, put those on your shoes and shine them up real quick. I mean, there's so many little amenities that we have, and those are your amenities. We have those for you. So requesting them, is part of your hotel stay. And what a houseman who's part of the housekeeping department is going to be the one who brings them to you. So, a little bit of a gratuity to him. And then if you just go ahead and ask for, like, five more pairs of slippers, he's going to have no problem bringing you five more pairs of slippers. And then you got little gifts you can hand out every time you come home, and everyone's got, nice hotel logoed slippers. It's important to take advantage of what a hotel has to offer. And I think, that's one of the things I tried to explain in Heads and Beds, is the variation, of what we can do for you. If you know how everything works, it can really add to your stay.
And speaking of mini bars.
Oh, yeah.
Mini bars are there. You say basically, you know, that little credit card you provide for incidentals or for mini bar experiences, that really doesn't necessarily have to be paid, does it?
Yeah. You know, I don't advocate stealing, and I wouldn't steal, but it's just a fact that that's the most disputed charge on any bill. I spent morning after morning just cutting off all these charges. There's a thousand reasons why that is inappropriately charged. Hence, if someone's morally creative enough, even if you do find yourself ransacking the minibar, if you just do a little bit of disputing and say you didn't have it, no hotelier wants to accuse you of lying. They're not going to go through your garbage looking for M&M wrappers. So, you know, a lot of charges will be removed, including the movies as well, if you just do a little disputing.
You know, it's interesting. At the very end of the book, you say things guests should never say. What are some of the things guests should never say?
Well, you know, there's different ways to turn down a bellman. You know, like, you should never be on your phone while you're checking in. I think it's a horrible thing to do. I don't know, snapping your credit card, making racist comments, yelling at my coworker, yelling to me about my coworker. That happens all the time. They would yell at me. They're like, this doorman and this guy, blah, blah, blah. And he wanted a tip. And I'm like, look, that's my friend. I know him. I don't know you. And I know he's a good guy. He's a good guy with a big family. I've met his family. And yelling to me about and complaining to me about my friend puts you in a really weird position and a really weird light in my eye. I'm like, I'm going to see you for the next 45 seconds. I'm going to know Johnny possibly for the rest of my life. So, you know, it's just yelling, you know, just keep in mind that the person you're yelling at most likely had nothing to do with your problem. But there's a lot of little mistakes that guests make that, you know, that should be avoided and can really keep you from being put in a horrible room.
So are you done with the hospitality industry yourself?
I am currently. I actually got a strange offer to be a general manager, which is the irony of ironies. I'm going to have a meeting about it. I'm not really sure where they're going with that. But no, I'm a full-time writer right now, and you know, I spend my whole life writing. You know, the hotel was paying my bills while I worked on my craft. So hopefully that comes out in the book itself. But just focused on the writing though.
All right. Well, it is a funny, eye-opening book about the hospitality industry, Heads and Beds. Jacob Tomsky, thanks very much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure being here.
Jacob Tomsky is my guest today. He is the author of Heads in Beds, a reckless memoir of hotels, hustles, and so-called hospitality. It's published by Doubleday. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you missed one of our recent episodes, they're available online anytime at publicradiotulsa.org. Just search for Studio Tulsa and you can search our archives. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.